السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i-Kiram and most respected brothers, a day or two ago in one of my talks at Roshni, I mentioned that there is a lot of discussion about the anti-terrorism bill. And indeed it is the duty of the Muslims to be concerned when the government tries to pass such a kind of legislation which will seriously affect the entire Muslim Ummah, especially in this part of the world. So alhamdulillah, great amount of effort is being put into trying to get the government to withdraw that bill, because there is great amount of legislation that is there to curb what we may term as urban terrorism. So to bring in those laws which are dealing with international terrorism, we know what is the purpose and motive behind it. It is to stifle and to stunt and to demolish the progress of the Muslim Ummah. However, that discussion you have heard quite a bit, you may have read of it quite a bit, and the announcements or the statements made by the Ulama Council of South Africa and others are available for whosoever wishes to get more details. But together with that, what I mentioned is that it is our duty to also understand that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has also legislated against terrorists. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has directed this order to the hearts of the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala has directed this command of His to the hearts of the Muslims, that you must be on guard against terrorists. And especially two terrorists that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has identified for us are Nafs and Shaitan. These two terrorists are all the time firing missiles using AK-47s, using all kinds of tricks and tactics to demolish the iman of the Muslim, to snatch away that great ni'mat of iman and Islam. They use all kinds of tactics to sabotage that iman. So we don't have to go and search. The governments of the world will have to search, find the terrorists whom they call terrorists. And we know that in these days, any person who is wanting to practice on Sharia, on Deen, on Islam, or is asking for the establishment of an Islamic state or order, then he is a terrorist. Even in a Muslim country, he is a terrorist. But they will still have to search, find, bring the person to court and prove the person guilty for sabotage and other such kind of damage that may have taken place. But these two terrorists that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has identified for us, we don't have to go and search anywhere now. The whisperings of Shaitan into the hearts of the believers and his own nafs, his own ego, his own passions, his own desires, we know that what kind of damage they cause to the imani state of the Muslim. So Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, one student of his, after having spent many, many years in his company, after having spent many years learning directly from Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, then he went out. And after many years having engaged in teaching, then he writes to his ustad, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says that I have acquired tremendous amount of knowledge. Tremendous amount of knowledge I gained. But that knowledge which will help me in the grave and help me in the hereafter, I want you to give me some nasihat with regards to that. Otherwise I know that your kitabs, I can find the solution in there. There are so much of advices, so much of guidelines and so much of nasihat that you have given in your books that you have written, especially the monumental book Ihya ul-Ulum and also Kimya-e-Saadat, Jawahir-ul-Quran, Qistas-ul-Mustaqim and so many other kitabs that you have written. If I really want advices, I can open those books and I can get advices. I can get nasihats. There's so much in it. But still, in a nutshell, I want something for my guidance. Something that will help me in the qabr and in the hereafter, because that is the real concern of the Muslim. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, he gave him a reply. I'm just giving you the gist of that reply, what we may term as the khulasa. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh said that if a person really wants advice, then the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what you have studied, what more nasihat and what more advice do you want after that? The hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quranic tafsir which you have studied, you don't require any more advice after that. So if a person is really keen and desirous of taking advice and nasihat seriously, then there is no need for him to be for any other advice after he has got the Quran and the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you have not really taken that advice to heart as yet, then what have you achieved in all the time that you have been with me? Besides knowledge, what else did you achieve? Because Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, Inna ashaddan nasi azaban yawm al qiyamah alimun lam yanfahu Allahu bi ilmi, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the most severe azab on the day of qiyamah will be for that learned person, for that scholar, for that alim, who has not benefited from that knowledge which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him. Allah ta'ala, the knowledge that he gave, this person did not practice on that, the person did not act upon it, he did not benefit from that knowledge, so that this person, he will be getting the most severest azab on the day of Qiyamah. So now all of us will immediately think of some alim who is not practicing on the knowledge that he has. Because that is our weakness, that the moment we listen to a hadith of this nature, immediately our mind goes on to those whom we know as ulama, and they are not practicing on their knowledge. But each and every one of us should look into ourselves, because each one has a certain amount of knowledge. Who doesn't have the knowledge that namaz is farz 5 times a day? Who doesn't have the knowledge that zakat is farz if you have a certain amount of wealth? Who doesn't have the knowledge fasting is farz in the month of Ramadan, or Hajj is farz if you are able to undertake the journey and other conditions are fulfilled? Who doesn't know that zina is haram? Who doesn't know that stealing and fraud is haram? Who doesn't have the knowledge that if it is an estate, then it must be distributed according to the Quran and the Sunnah? So all of us have to some degree this knowledge. So if we are not practicing, then we must also consider ourselves in that category. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us. But we must consider ourselves in that same category, whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to, as that the most severe punishment on the day of judgment will be for that learned person who has not practiced on the knowledge that he has. And alhamdulillah, to some extent, everybody wants to increase his knowledge. Therefore, we want to listen to bayans, listen to talks, attend seminars, go to conferences. We say we want to increase our knowledge. But just the increase of knowledge is not sufficient. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh says, that if it was just the increase of knowledge, if it had been just the knowledge that you wanted, so then you have stayed a long period of time with me and you have acquired tremendous amount of knowledge. So where is the practice then, that you are asking me for nasihat now? But in any case, says, oh Allah, Allah Ta'ala may give you long life. He says, may Allah bless you with long life. But if you really want again some advice, then he says, one hadith of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sufficient for advice. You say, I must give it in a nutshell, and I must put it forward to you simply, and all the books that you have studied, Ihya'ul Ulum and Jawahirul Quran and Kimya'i Sa'adat and Qistasul Mustaqim and all those kitabs, but now you want nasihat in a nutshell. So he says, one hadith of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, alamatu iradillahi ta'ala anil abd ishtighaluhu fima la ya'ni aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He says that the first thing is this, that the sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat from this person, the sign that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat, of mercy from this person, of happiness from this person, is this, that the person gets occupied in those things which are useless. Those things which are useless, they are of no help to him in this world or in the akhirat. At least if the person is occupied in some skill, he's engaged in something that will produce some fruits in this world, he will be able to benefit materially. And his niyat also is that he wants to earn halal. Then we will say that's a useful occupation. Even if that person is taking a walk under the trees in the early part of the morning, and his niyat is this, that he wants good health, so that he may be able to undertake the ibadat, so that he may be able to do whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has ordered him to do, so that he may be able to go and earn halal livelihood, and he may be able to take care of the needs of his family, of his children, and he may be able to undertake other activities of life. So outwardly he is doing some worldly thing, that he's just taking a walk. But in the meantime, this walk is not useless, because it is going to assist him in his akhirat, for his akhirat. But here what Rasulullah Paak Sallam refers to is that this person is engaged in some futile activity, absolutely useless and waste of time. If this person just looks back at the amount of time that he wasted in such futile activity, then he himself will feel ashamed. Now brothers, at present, I have been informed that so many people are just hooked to the programs that are taking place of the Olympics. Hours and hours, hours and hours. What does the person get at the end of all that viewing? What has it helped him? Has it helped him physically? Has it helped him morally? Has it helped him spiritually? What kind of help has it given to him? It is an alamat that Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat from such people. Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat and mercy from such people, when you find them engaged and occupied in such kind of activities which are futile, useless. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that. So if a person wants to x-ray, we say give us a report after the x-ray. We always ask the doctor for a report after the x-ray. We want to know what is wrong. Where is the problem? Where is the blockage? Where is that stone lodged now? So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is informing us that if you really want to know whether your Allah is pleased with you or not, whether your rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is cast upon you or not, then simple, look at your activities of life. If you are engaged in futile and useless activities, again I repeat, futile and useless means that they are of no use to the person, either for this world or for the hereafter. Nothing. Otherwise, if a person is joking, laughing, smiling, and talking cheerfully to his wife and children, we won't call that futile. But we are talking about those activities of this nature which I have just discussed. Or discussions of a nature that are absolutely useless, doesn't help the person in any way. So then that is an alamat, it is a sign that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made iraz from this person. He has turned away his glance of rahmat and mercy from this person. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that moment of a person's life, I'm just giving you the explanation, that period of time in a person's life in which the person occupies himself for which he was not created, then it will cause great amount of grief and great amount of sorrow for this person. He will regret this very, very strongly, or he should express great regret and great sorrow over that period of time in his life which goes by without being occupied in something for which he is not created. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that a person who has turned 40, the person who has turned 40 years of age, and these days we all say that time goes so fast. The child was crawling and next day we say he's running. And then we say he's a young person. And then that same person who was getting married today, now he's getting his son married. That's how fast the time is moving. And then after a few years, they say now he's already a grandfather of so many children. So how long does it take to turn 40 these days? Those who are in the 30s or 20s, they must not think that's still a long way to go. But besides those people, how many of us have already turned 40? Not only 40, we are in the 50s or 60s. Or some are even more than that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who has turned 40 and his good deeds have not overpowered his bad deeds, or his good deeds have not increased to more than his bad deeds, then this person must now prepare himself for the fire of Jahannam. The person after the 40th year of his life, what is he still waiting for? Is he still waiting for youth to come? There are two things that we always say. For example, Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. One day death is going to come. Do whatever you have to do now, because one day death is going to come. Now for the believer, this means something else. And for the disbelievers and the disobedient ones, it means something else. For the believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it means that Allah ta'ala has blessed you with this life. So make use of this golden opportunity and do those things which will be of assistance to you in this world and in the akhirat. Allah ta'ala has given you life, so do make the best of life. We are not saying that let it go by. Make the best of life. Allah ta'ala has given the opportunity, so make the best of life, because death is going to come. So now this person will engage in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat, in service to his neighbors, his friends, his society. The person will be engaged in good works. He will be kind, he will be gentle, he will be generous, he will be hospitable, he will be sincere, he will be pious, righteous. All these things he will do. Why? Because one day death is going to come. So he's making the best of life. And he will make use of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Nobody stops him from eating good food, wearing good clothes, and traveling in good car if Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with it in a halal way. And it is not on interest. And he is not proud when he is making use of those things. So this person looks at it in a different light, that he must make the best of life. And to the disbeliever, when we say the same share and the same poetry and the same couplet, then to him it means that make the best of life, because afterwards you are going to turn to dust. So before you turn to dust, make the best of life. If you can commit zina with 1,000 women, commit it. If you can go to the gambling den and sit there whole day, go and sit there. If you can steal, commit fraud and become rich, then become rich. Make the best of life, because one day you are going to die. As long as you escape the sight of the police and the government, and you escape the prison cell, so thereafter, then nothing matters. Do whatever you can do. Drink whatever you wish to. Eat whatever you wish to. Indulge in any haram. Why? Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. So you can see that two people will interpret the same thing in a different way. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he quotes this to his student and he says that this is the alamat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned his sight away of mercy from you. And then in the third part of that hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person who has turned 40 years of age, and after that still if his good deeds do not overcome his bad deeds, then he must prepare himself for the fire of Jahannam. So it's not that Allah ta'ala wants us all to go to the fire of Jahannam. If that was the case, we say that why must we talk about the fire of Jahannam? We must talk about the fire of Jahannam because Allah Ta'ala talks about it in the Quran Sharif in so many places. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions it in the Hadith Sharif in so many places. Why? As a warning that out of love you should be staying away from all this haram. But if you cannot stay away out of love of Allah Ta'ala, then also there is severe punishment. So as a believer, you must believe in it, that there is such a kind of thing as Jahannam in the Akhirat. So if after 40 you cannot still change your life, then prepare yourself for the fire of Jahannam. Our parents tell the children that at this age also, if you're not going to learn, then when are you going to learn? How many times we tell the children, growing up children, that at this age also, if you're not going to learn, when are you going to learn? Will you remain a donkey all your life? Will you remain a stupid all your life? So it's a warning. It doesn't mean that we want that person to become stupid or we want him to remain a monkey or a donkey. So in the same way here, Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they want us to stay away from that azab of Jahannam. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala would not have sent so many Anbiya and so many Sulaha and so many Mashayikh of Haq to guide us. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he says that Alamat, or when the person has turned 40, then it is expected that this person by now should have sufficient intelligence to understand that the next step is the grave. And the statistics have shown that last year, more than 60% of the deaths were of those people who were under 30 years of age. More than 60% of under 30 years of age, in accidents, in drowning, in this, in that, murders and killings. So how many of us can say that we are still going to live for a long, long time? Or even the youth, how can they say that we still got a long life? So this is the sign, or this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. So those people who have already turned 40, it means that now prepare for the grave. And those who haven't turned 40, they too must prepare for the grave. But preparation for the grave does not mean that now you divorce yourself from the world. You divorce yourself from your business and from your family and from your children. The preparation for the akhirat is in this world. In our homes, in our businesses, in our family life, in our political life, in our economic life. In every aspect of our life, there is preparation for the hereafter. Therefore, it's one poet has beautifully said, one Buzrug and Wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he says that the Ashik of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, first he disciplines his hands, the movement of his hands. He disciplines the movement of his feet. He disciplines the sight of his eyes. And he disciplines his ears. And he punishes them and reprimands them if they disobey. And he puts them into chains. But after that, when they become obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that same feet, now he kisses that feet of his. He kisses those same hands of his. And if it was possible for him to kiss his own eyes, he'll kiss his own eyes too. If it was possible for him to kiss his own ears, he will kiss his own ears. And if it was possible for him to kiss his own tongue, he will kiss it. Why? He said, now that you have become disciplined, you have become the means of my connection with my Allah. This disciplining now has given me this connection with my Allah. And because of this connection with my Allah, now I've got gardens of paradise within my heart. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. Now this person walks about with the gardens of jannat in his heart, because he has got the khaliq of jannat in his heart. So what was it that brought that khaliq of jannat in his heart? It was that disciplining of his sight, that he did not cast his gaze on haram. It was the disciplining of his ears that he did not listen to haram. It was the disciplining of his tongue that he did not speak haram. It was the disciplining of his hands that he did not touch haram. He did not fire the bullet on somebody without justification. He did not punch somebody. He did not slap somebody. He did not swear somebody with his tongue. He did not take false oath and qasams with his tongue. He did not speak lies with his tongue. So now when he disciplined it, now this became the means of his connection with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now he kisses these very parts of his body, that you were the means of my connection with my beloved Allah. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if the person has turned 40 and still his good deeds have not overcome his bad deeds, then after that the person must prepare himself for the journey to hell. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi writes to his student that just this one hadith sharif is sufficient. But after that he mentions many other things. If Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity to speak to you, then inshallah we will go further. Because these days we do not know whether we will get another opportunity. A person picks up the telephone and speaks to his friend. And he tells me that 5 minutes later again he gets a call that the friend was shot and passed away. Just 5 minutes later. He says, I spoke to him 5 minutes before that. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect each and every one of us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. May Allah Ta'ala make us all his walis. bless us with his closeness and the closeness of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala must remove all the difficulties and hardships and problems that the Muslim Ummah is facing all over the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.